Trade deadline in 3 hours at 6 o'clock. Should the Nationals trade Mackenzie Gore? I feel like I'm going to irritate some people today because I now am going to go hard in the paint here. I think they need to trade Mackenzie Gore.
Need to?
Need to. I think they should trade Mackenzie Gore, and it would be a misstep not to. Now, my first order of business here is to just provide a caveat, which is to say, I love Mackenzie Gore. I was in on Mackenzie Gore before it was cool. Okay, this is a former number 3 overall pick with the Padres. He was one of my favorite young pitchers in baseball. We had him on the show. People might forget this. The day the Nats traded for him in the Juan Soto deal, he actually called into our show because I had a little relationship with him from doing my prospect show in the past. And I think he is a stud. When he pitches at home, I go to those games. I am a huge believer. I think there's a potential that he turns into a legitimate ace. You know, if there's 20 of those in baseball, he could be one of those top 20 pitchers in the sport. I think on a first division World Series caliber team right now, he's probably more of a number 2 starter. But from the left side to throw 97, to have the secondary stuff that he has, there's a reason he's an all-star. He's gotten better every single year. I love the player. I believe in the player. I think whoever trades for him, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Tigers, whoever it would be, is doing the correct thing. By the way, if I needed an arm, I would 100% trade for Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah.
I'm getting 3 postseason runs out of him. I'm getting 2.5 years out of him. I believe in the player. To be redundant here, let me say it one more time. Mackenzie Gore guy. He is advised by Scott Boras, and he will be leaving in free agency after 2+ seasons from now. He is not a guy, even if he wasn't advised by Boras, that I think is looking to sign a long-term extension here. He's looking to get to market. And because of that, you owe it to yourself when you're not close enough to be a World Series contender during his next 2+ seasons. This year's a lost cause. Even if you have a big offseason next year, you're trying to get over 500. At best, that means in 2027, likely a work stoppage season anywhere where you're going to miss some of Mackenzie Gore's final year as it is. You have one chance to make the playoffs and go on a run with Gore before he would leave via free agency at the end of that season. If my calculations are all correct, and I think they are, this is a no-brainer. You flip him now, you get a really quality return of 3 or 4 players, including 2 high-end prospects, and you add legitimate value to your system, including a couple close to the big leagues, high-end minor league talents for Gore right now, going into a season next year, with or without him, where you're not going to make the playoffs. I think we're in no-brainer territory here. And I know it's going to be painful for the fan base. I know people are tired of players getting traded that are really good. One of your 2 all-stars this year getting flipped again. I get that. But the job of the front office, Mike DiBartolo and company, is to do what's best for the team in the long term to make them a World Series champion again as soon as possible. And I think moving Gore gives them a better chance to be that type of team in 3 years than keeping him.
If it was realistic that this ownership group would all of a sudden look in the mirror and go, oh my God, it's our fault. It's us. We'll change immediately. Then maybe, forget about the work stoppage coming for a second, you might have 2 years of being really competitive. And if they were to or would have spent money this past offseason, or they're going to now the offseason of 25 before the 26 and 27 seasons, they'll do what's necessary throughout the organization. If you really believe that, then maybe there's a case where you go, our window, and I put that in quotes, is opening up starting next year. I'd rather have 2 years of Mackenzie Gore leading me through that window, maybe get into a playoff series one time. Now, back here in the real world, where that's not happening, that's not possible, and that's not prudent, you must act accordingly. To act accordingly is to say, we're not going to be good enough to warrant keeping a guy who will leave here at the end of his contract time. That if you accept all those things as fact, then you get the most value you can, and that's right now this minute.
I'm going to give some names kind of to what you're talking about. If the ownership group internally right now thought, we're about to have a huge offseason. We're about to spend like crazy. And they're going to go get Kyle Tucker, the best outfielder and bat on the market, and give him $300 million. And they're going to pay Dylan Cease to come in here to be a co-number 2 or whatever with Mackenzie Gore and to be the fellow frontliner, let's just say. Or maybe even more exciting for me, like Michael King would come in here and be Gore's number 2 to bolster the rotation. And they're going to bring in Josh Naylor to play first base because they'll flip Nathaniel Lowe before 6 o'clock, let's say. And then they're going to fix their bullpen. just an aggressive, legitimate Dodgers, Phillies, Mets-like offseason. Then keep Mackenzie Gore because you're trying to win next season. But that's not the world we're living in. That is not the reality. They live in a reality where they don't keep or pay their veterans that are Boris advised before they hit the market, and it's not completely their fault. Everyone wants to scream at the learners, you got to pay Gore, you got to pay James Wood. They can't. They're not allowed to by way of the agent saying, we're going to market. It takes two to tango. Now, they might not anyway. That is a whole nother can of worms, okay? But let's say that they were Steve Cohen. They couldn't get these guys under contract right now. It just wouldn't happen. Doesn't matter what the checkbook, the check that they're signing looks like. But if that was the offseason plan, I could get behind keeping Gore. Because you're going to be an 85-win team maybe next year. And having Gore on that 85-win team gives you a better chance to be a wild card team. And who knows what happens when you get in, see 2019. But that's not the reality. So it's 2 years left. Next year, you're almost certainly not making the wild card conversation. You're just trying to get back to 500. 2 seasons from now in a perfect world with a couple of good drafts and a couple of good off seasons, spending a little bit of money because it's not going to be a lot of money, but a reasonable amount of money, still a spike in what you're spending. Now, 2 seasons from now, after the work stoppage, hopefully a short one, you can compete. But you're down the stretch with Gore as a free agent, and then he walks. They've done a nice job, Danny, trading things that are not bolted down so far for decent returns of minor leaguers. Amed Rosario, Andrew Chafin, Luis Garcia, the pitcher, Michael Soroka, Kyle Finnegan, all pending free agents. They have brought back minor leaguers, arms, Clayton Beter, lefty Jake Eater, Josh Randall, RJ Sales, infielders, Sam Brown, Ronnie Cruz, outfielders, Braum Martinez, and Christian Franklin. 8 players coming back to add to the minor league system for the 5 rentals that they have traded. That's smart, good business. Not knocking them, but they haven't brought anything back of note.
Right.
There's a really good chance that not one of the players that they brought back in any of these deals ends up being a super impactful major leaguer on a Nats team that's contending in a couple of years. It doesn't mean they weren't good deals. It just means you're not getting blue chippers back when you trade the ghost of Kyle Finnegan or 36-year-old rental Andrew Chafin, who looks like Ricky Bobby's cousin. Eastbound and down. What's that guy's name? Kenny Powers. You're just not getting much back for those guys. There's one way to get a good return here, and it's Mackenzie Gore. That's the return you're going to get before 6 o'clock.
And we'll always have fans in our mentions at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, who just can't handle that. And I get it, because your tickets are already paid. It's not like the Nats are going to give you, you know, a discount on your Shake Shack when you go in there when it's no longer Gore pitching and it's some 4A Freddy. But what's the point of all this? Right. The point of a baseball decision is let's make the best one for the chance to do, as you said, try to be really, really good again and to open up the window for us to be really highly competitive for multiple seasons at a time. Not one weird flare up like the football team would do when they would win 3 games in a row, 5 games in a row, 4 games in a row, go right back to being 6-10 again. That's not the point. The point is to have a core of young players, supplement with some veterans, not to just get to 500 and pat ourselves on the back, but to be really good. To go through what we frankly just did that culminated in a World Series in 2019, which is a long time ago now, but you're talking about an average of 90, 91, 92 wins per season where, yeah, sometimes it goes bad and everybody's mad at each other, you win 83. Sometimes it goes great, you win 98. That's the range. That's where you are trying to get to. This is the path to do it. I'm sorry it sucks right now. I got news. It sucks right now. It already does. We got that covered, right? When you go to the ballpark, especially if it's a day game, you're going to catch an L. I don't care who's pitching. They're halfway on the bus, dude. They pack their gear before the game starts. They're 13-2,000 during day games. They play games at home sometimes during the day. It's already so bad. It will get worse without Mackenzie Gore in the short term. But again,
if Gore
what's the
today
point?
Wanted to sign a 6-year deal at, I'm just making a number up top of my head, but at $180 million for $30 million a year, I would do it. I'm not trying to trade anyone that has value. I'm not trading C.J. Abrams, who has 3 years of control left after this season, because I believe there's a real chance that I could make the playoffs a couple times in those 3 years if they actually started spending. I certainly would have a chance 3 years from now in 2028 to have Abrams be a part, you know, an impact piece, but he's not a Boris guy. You might actually be able to get a contract done with C.J. Abrams. And by the way, Grant the Bartolo over here, running the shop, I am talking with C.J. Abrams right now, this moment, about an extension. I don't care if he's my shortstop long-term, or if I have to move him to second, or if he's playing center field at some point. None of that matters to me. He is a major league caliber offensive and base running threat who deserves to be here and paid handsomely for a long time to come. And because he's one of the rare non-Boris guys like Trey Turner that you've had around here that maybe, just maybe, you could get a deal done with, I would be doing everything in my power to do that. But we live in a world right now as fans, you said it stinks, that isn't fun. I mean, did you see the details on when they traded Kyle Finnegan that came out? Finnegan's one-year deal for $6 million was deferred over basically a three-year span, 25, 26, and 27. A one-year deal for $6 million for a major league reliever, who, by the way, was scheduled to make more than that, but they waived him and risked not having him at all on a bad bullpen so that they could save a couple million dollars. But then they deferred that over 3 years. I mean, that is wild work, bro, that you're going to sign a guy for $6 million on a one-year deal and defer it over $2 million at a time for 3 years. That is almost as embarrassing as, like, when you're down on your luck and you go into that grocery store and you're paying with the pennies and it's like, I got 67 cents, and you're, like, looking around. Like, this is the ownership version of that.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? But this is where we are. I think they got to make the move today. I don't think they're going to, for the record. Trade deadline is 2 hours and, you know, 45 minutes away. I don't think ownership would sign off on a Gore deal. My guess is they could get a good offer. I don't know if they'll get a great offer, the one they want. You know, if you're holding out with, you're trading them to the Tigers, you're asking for Kevin McGonigal, the best hitter in the minor leagues. They're probably not giving him to you. If they could get him, let's all just take our clothes off. But let's say you're holding out for two of their top five prospects, and Detroit's going, no, we can't do that. All right, then you could hang on to him. That's fine. Call the Cubs, call the Yankees, what have you. Maybe they don't get the perfect offer. They want 100 cents on the dollar or 110 cents on the dollar. That could be the reason they don't make the trade. But I think even if they get the right offer, I'm just not sold. You go to ownership right now that you can get everyone on the same page to say yes, number one. And number two, that they would risk whatever the rest of this season looks like without him. You've already lost Soroka from your rotation.
Yep.
They've traded three relievers from their bullpen, from a terrible bullpen.
Yeah.
Who is even filling out this big league roster for the rest of the year? They've got to add dudes to their 40-man. Maybe a couple of these 22-year-old pitchers you brought over who have been in like single A and double A get called up. I'm guessing Clayton Beter gets into the big league sooner rather than later. We saw Zach Brixey was elevated to the majors yesterday, who's really struggled. I mean, it's going to be a long rest of the way.
That's my point, with or without Mackenzie Gore. But I'm with you. I don't think it happens. I think it's a PR decision. Now, I'm not talking about like our friend Kyle Brostowitz and the guys that, like, you know, run Nats PR, but I think it's from an ownership level where they're going, we're taking too much heat as it is. We can't do it. We can't risk 500 less people coming to games when it's really, really bad in August and September. We can't. And so I think they'll put the kibosh on any move that gets made, where baseball people will have something set and they'll be told no because of whatever optic.